Rabbi, so what I want to do today is something off the beaten track. Something a little bit off the beaten track. Okay, I got to think about that. Okay, now, most of us, we've been brainwashed that the dome of the rock, is the Mekoyim of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And for good reason, we've been brainwashed, because that is the legend. This legend goes back for at least 1,000 years, that the Even Shesia, there is a Chazal that says that the Even Shesia is the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The place where creation began is the Even Shesia, and David HaMelech discovered the Even Shesia, and upon the Even Shesia is the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so we are under the assumption, there is a legend, that the Dome of the Rock is indeed the Even Shesia. And that is the location where the Kodesh HaKadoshim used to stand. And upon that location today, the Muslims have built this mosque. They have built the mosque called the Rock is called the Al-Sakara.
Alaska?
Alaska? Al-Aqsa is the other mosque. That's the mosque, Al-Aqsa mosque.
That's a smaller one.
That's a smaller mosque. That's all the way at the end. That's at the southern wall. On the handout, the Temple Mount bird, this comes from the Hakira Journal. I'm quoted this for a reason. I'll show you in a while. So it shows you over here the layout, and it shows you the Dome of the Rock. It'll just call the Dome of the Rock, and then there is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, the Dome of the Rock, our legend tells us that this is the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a legend that goes back for at least a thousand years. Only in the 19th century did people begin to question if this is really correct. Is it really so that the Dome of the Rock is indeed the Mokom of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is it really the Even Shesia? Okay, now today there's the Temple Institute. I can't go to the Kosel Maravi and not be influenced by the Temple Institute. It's a major organization, and if you go on a tour, the tunnel tours, or they have other types of tours, they have basically recreated the Beis HaMikdash, what it used to look like from the time of the Bayis Sheni, from the time of Hordus, and they have all different models and demonstrations, and they've published, in fact, articles published for them. I think Shire Press, Articles Division, they published a beautiful, beautiful book, and they only show one side of the story, that the Dome of the Rock is the Even Shesia, and upon the Dome of the Rock is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim used to be. It's very possible. No one's coming to deny that that might be correct. If that is indeed correct, then we can work backwards, and we can assume that we know that the Azara was 187 amos by 135 amos. So we can basically take the Dome of the Rock and take a very generous interpretation of the Amma, assume an Amma is close to 2 feet, and we can work around that, and we can pretty much figure out where the Azara, the entire Azara, is located. And then we can figure out where the Ezras Noshim is located, and then we can try to figure out approximately where is the original Mokoyim of the Har Habayis. Because the Har Habayis is 500 Amos by 500 Amos. It's one thing is certain, it's not clear where in the Har Habayis is the Mokoyim HaMikdash located. But if you'll make some approximation, if you at least will have at least one point where you can start with, you at least have room to work with, you have something to work with, at least to figure out where is the Har Habayis. And maybe if a person wants to go today, okay, putting aside any politics and putting aside any chumrah of chumrah in halacha, but if a person theoretically would want to follow the ikar halacha, you would know where the Har Habayis begins and until where you're allowed to walk and where you have to already take precautions and follow the various opinions we discussed yesterday. Is a tamei meis allowed to go on the Har Habayis? Is a tamei meis not allowed to go on the Har Habayis? Is there a concern of ziva and so on and so forth? All of the various issues. But at least it would be nice to have a starting point to know where to start from. However, today, many people question this legend. They question this legend, and they've made many, many suggestions. New suggestions, some of them are very fascinating. So I have over here two, on this handout, are two two diagrams, and these two diagrams are presenting two different suggestions, which are not traditional. Okay, which are not traditional. The first one on the left is only focusing on the Har HaBayis. I'll show you that a little bit later on. He's trying to present, based upon new evidence, this is all based upon a modern archaeologist by the name of, I don't know his first name, his name is Ritty Mayer. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. R-I-T-M-E-Y-E-R. Ritmeyer. He wrote many books. I checked it up on Amazon. It's a $50 book. It's kedaita if you can get a hold of it, and it's probably very worthy to get a hold of. He seems to be today the biggest expert, one of the biggest experts on the archaeology of the Har HaBayis. And he has some fascinating... No, it appears not. It appears that he's not Jewish. And some of the things he says there are totally off. I know that with regard to, I think, an article he wrote in a magazine many years ago about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, about the way the Aron was put on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Aron was 2.5 amas by 1.5 amas. Mm-hmm. In which direction was the 2.5 amas? So the Badin, he says something which is clearly wrong according to Halacha. So, but besides, he's not Jewish. I don't think he's Jewish. He's certainly not religious, to the best of my knowledge. And some of the things he says are not according to Halacha, but the discoveries that he has made are second to none. And in this sefer, journal we've quoted from yesterday, the Chakira journal, they've cited from him extensively, and they say that the things that he has discovered cannot be ignored, and all of our old assumptions and our old ideas have to be reevaluated based upon the discoveries, some of the compelling discoveries that he has made in reference to the Har HaBayis. And I'll show it to you in a few moments. Okay, that's on the left. But the bulk I want to focus on is something on the right. On the right is come from the Sefer, the name of a Sefer called the Mokoim, I forgot the name of the Sefer. It's published by Rabbi Livinoni. Rabbi Livinoni, he lives, I think, in England. He has a son here.
He lives in Yerushalayim.
He lives down in Yerushalayim. He used to live in England. I forgot the name of the Sefer. The temple, the name of the Sefer is called the Temple.
His name was Weiss, he's Hungarian, he changed it to Livinoni.
Yeah.
The rights to the Sefer were bought out by Lubavitch.
By Lubavitch?
Yeah.
Okay. He is a very big Talmud Chacham. He has a son that's a very big expert in the laws of Ribbis. He's one of the biggest authorities today in the laws of Ribbis. His name is also Livinoni, and what I'm showing you comes from the Sefer. The reason why I'm presenting this is because it's written so well, and it goes through all of the issues, and even though what he says over here is very different than anything that you're going to see anywhere else, at least he presents the information, the facts, in a very beautiful way where you can use this, you can extrapolate, and whenever you learn about the sugya, you'll always be able to come back to this, and you'll be able to have an appreciation of what other people are trying to suggest against the backdrop of the way it's presented over here. And over here, the way it's presented is, again, is very, very fascinating. So let's read what it says over here. I'm trying to go through very quickly. Well, maybe we'll skip right if we run out of time, but it's very, very simple and it's very informative. So let's start right away where it says, Heichanu Gvuloi Shel Har HaBayis. Saviv Har HaBayis. And you can right away refer from what we're reading in the Hebrew to the diagram on the other page on the right side. Saviv Har HaBayis Nimses Choyma Atiko Yoimin, an old wall Hamakifa Oisa, which surrounds the entire Har HaBayis. Rechoyva Mimizrach Lamarv is 283 meters. Orcha Mitzafal Darm is 490 meters. Hashetach Sheikifa Yoitzer Tsuras Malbein. Okay, then they have Dover Zehu Lechoyra Benigud Lamash Shenemar Bimisech Tamidus. Okay, this entire area that goes, this entire box that goes around the entire circumference of the Temple Mount, the modern day Temple Mount, appears to be in contradiction to what it says in the Masechta Midos that teaches us that the Har HaBayis is only 500 amas by 500 amas. Okay, uvechol hashas asher lepihem hoyesh shitchei shel Har HaBayis b'tzura rebuah. It was a perfect square. The diagram presents it as something rectangular. Umidasen heim 500 amos al 500 amos. Efshel Yashiv Stirzo. So he now wants to right away answer to this contradiction, which is a very popular answer. Al bi piska taisvis mesecht amidos vzel l'shaynam har habayis hoyu letzaf nirshlam v'har hoyu godlo harbe. It was much, much larger. The mountain is much larger than 500 by 500 amos. Mechamish ameos al chamish meos v'lo hoyu kodesh el chamish meos al chamish meos. Kiloimar shetach Har Habayis Hamikudosh Hoya Meruba 500 Amma al 500 Amma. Uveshel Hashetach Hanoisov Sheenoi Mikudosh Hamotsui Bein Choymois Har Habayis Shalachshov Noitzro Tsuras Milbon. So there's a very large area that's enclosed by a wall, but the entire area does not have sanctity. Only a section of this enclosure has section. Therefore, it is upon us to figure out which 500 amos by 500 amos of this enclosure is the original Har Habayis, which Shlomo HaMelech gave sanctity to. Now, I mentioned yesterday an opinion that says that Bizman Hazeh we should treat the entire area above with Kedushas Har Habayis because it was expanded during the time of the Bayis Sheni, and there's a very big possibility that the Sanhedrin, they gave it Kedusha. That is not so simple, because the Gemara says in order to give Kedusha to the Azara, you need the Urim V'Tumim. You need a Kohen Gadol, you need the Urim V'Tumim, and we don't have an Amelech. So in the Bayis Sheni, one can argue maybe they had a melech, they had someone acting in as place of a melech. We can make that argument. And you can say we had a Kohen Gadol, but they did not exist, it's an historical fact, that it did not exist the Urim V'Tumim. So to suggest that in our day and age, going up to the Temple Mount, every single inch of the Temple Mount has Kedushas Har Habayis, because the Kedusha was expanded during the time of the Bayis Sheni, is difficult. It's possible. It's possible to assume that maybe they did have the Urim, we don't know all the every detail of exactly at what point in time it was expanded. Maybe we got its Kedusha during the time of the Bayis Rishon, it was expanded. There are many mysteries, but it's not likely on a very simple level to say that new Kedusha was added to the Temple Mount. Therefore, if we have a way today to figuring out exactly where is the Har, the original Har Bayis of 500 Amos by 500 Amos, that would basically mean that according to all opinions, you would be allowed to enter up onto that area as long as you stay outside of the area of the Har Habayis. The bottom line is we don't know where it is. That's the bottom line. That is why anyone today that goes up on the Har Habayis pretty much is working with the assumption that they are stepping on sacred ground. And they're working with this we discussed yesterday. And that's not necessarily problematic because Mikar Hadin, a Tomei Mace, is allowed to go on the Har Habayis. You just have to take precautions. You're not allowed to wear shoes, you're not allowed to have a money belt, you're not allowed to have a staff, you have to go to mikvah to cleanse yourself from Tumas Tvulyayim, and you have to rely upon other leniencies that no one Bizman Hazeh is a Zav, and we have to assume that we're not following the opinion of Rashi Masech Yevamos and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, that's Zayin Amud Beis, that talks about the time of Yehoshaphat where they made it a Gezerah, that they expanded Kedusha, they made a Gezerah that you're not allowed to go on the Chotzer HaChadosha, a Tzvul Yoyim may not go in Chotzer HaChadosha. Rashi learns refers to the Har Habayis, which then we learn that if a Tzvul Yoyim may not go, then they Tomei Mikdash may not go. This all yesterday. So, but if we can figure out exactly where the Har Habayis is, and we don't step on the Har Habayis, and everyone agrees you can go up into that area. It will be ideal for us to figure out the exact location of the Har Habayis. If we know the Har Habayis, maybe we can figure out where the base is, where it was. Okay, so here over here is Rabbi Levinoni speaking. Okay, Rabbi Levinoni over here is coming over here. If I'm not mistaken, this is him speaking, he's telling you over here his novel idea. This is his innovation. A 20th century approach to figure out where is the precise location of number one, the Har Habayis, and number two, where precisely is the Mokoyim HaMikdash. You're not going to see this anywhere else. You're not going to hear this when you go on the tour of the temple, tunnel tours. They're not going to present this opinion. They're going to completely ignore this opinion, and if you're going to say something that it says over here, they're going to say, you don't know what in the world you're talking about. We have the world's greatest archaeologists that know otherwise. And what the archaeologists are telling you is not necessarily correct. Even they will admit today that there's new information that has new insight. Not that this is correct either. This is a little bit of a stretch either. But you know, it just opens up the inyan. It gives you an appreciation of what is going on. Here we go. On the following realities. Number one is Kayemes Misur Atika. Now he's relying upon tradition. There is a legend. Lefia Nimtsoyim Shari Chulda Bechoyma Hadroimis. There's a gate called the Shari Chulda. Can you see the Shari Chulda?
Yeah.
Okay, the Shari, it's still there today. Heim Nikraim Gamashem Shar Hakafol, the double entrance. Al Shem
Sh.
Right, that's the mosque.
No,
the Shar Chulda. You see it on the illustration on the south, the Dharam. Al Shem Shnei Shadav Hamirah Mukhbar Mechem Atumim Ba'avonim Ketanas. You can see it today. You go online, see pictures of this. It's sealed. It's sealed with stone. No one can go there. It's locked. Kinemar B'Medesh Rabbul Shashim Shar Hakoyin V'Shar Chulda. Okay, that's a chiddush because this wall was rebuilt. This wall, okay, we'll talk about that. He's starting off with a very big chiddush, which modern archaeologists disagree, that the southern wall is the original wall from the time of the Bayis Sheni. Nothing has changed. This wall was not rebuilt by Hordas. This is an original wall that's been around from the time of the Bayis Sheni.
But that was Hordas.
No, Hordas.
When did Hordas?
Okay, you're right. But what I mean is, no, it's not. What it means is that even if Hordas did rebuild it, he built it on the same place, correct?
Yeah.
If Hordas rebuilt it, that's also questionable. The assumption is yes. But even if Hordas did rebuild this wall, even if he did rebuild this wall, this wall is not an extension. Is not an extension of what was there originally from the time of the Bayis Rishon. This wall was rebuilt by the beginning of the Bayis Sheni for sure, and it can very well have been rebuilt multiple times during the time of the Bayis Sheni. And the last time it was rebuilt was the time of Hordas. And when Hordas built it, but the bottom line is, it's being rebuilt on its original foundation from the time of the Bayis Rishon, which then means this is the outer limit, the outer extreme of the 500 amos of the Har HaBayis. We don't have to go and say the Har HaBayis begins somewhere in the middle. Okay, let's go further.
He beautified it somehow.
He beautified it, but he beautified it. He had to rebuild it. He had to knock it down and rebuild it.
All the walls.
Oh, so the truth is no. The stones on the east are different. The eastern wall is not the same stones as the south and the west. They're not the same. They're different, built in a different era, different period. That's the problem. Which of these walls is the original wall? Which wall is not the original wall? Let's take a look. Haychacha Noisefes, Mido Arucha Shel Haychamazuhi, 283 meters in Nit. Natrigain mitargin. We translate these meters mitramelu laamos. You get over here into whatever these numbers are. Tiskabelna hamidos hamitzuyonos k'mishna. We have to go make this into five. He wants to suggest that 283 meters, as you see over here in the illustration, is equal to 500 amos. So divide 500 by 283, and you'll now get
558.
Meters is an amma, which is a little bit large. It's a little bit large on our standards. Okay, it's like a chazonish amma almost. It's a little bit large. Now you also want to combine the thickness of the walls. Fine. Okay, here he goes and he puts it in bold. Shachoyme hadroyme sakayemes bizmanenu hi achoyme hadroyme shatiko shel harabais. That is his first assumption. This is a major, major assumption to make, which probably all modern archaeologists disagree. Okay, that's why this is a very chiddush, that the southern wall is built upon the exact same wall that Shlomo HaMelech sanctified as the original southern wall of the Har HaBayis. And therefore, since this wall goes from end to end, it's exactly 282 meters, so that means we can use this to define for ourselves the definition of an Amma. An Amma will then be...
large. By that, if an Amma...
How many feet is it in feet? How do you translate point?
Okay. Like 2 feet.
It's like 2 feet. Okay, so it's a chazonish. It's a chazonish amma. Okay?
Slightly
less than 2 feet, which is a very large amma. Everyone assumes that's larger than the chazonish amma. Is not a realistic amma. It's just a measurement that's used for chomer purposes. It's not a realistic amma. It's 2 feet, but the chazonish amma was used as a chomer. The chazonish amma is not an amma that you want to play it safe, so you yotze l'chol adeis, you can breathe easily when you use 2 feet as the measurement of an amma. Is that the real amma? Even the Chazanish Lechoy would agree no. It's likely that it's a lot smaller than that. It's smaller than that. But here he's telling us, no, that's the reality. This is the wall. The wall is exactly 283 meters. And it's exactly 500 ammas. Which means that an amma is pretty close to 2 feet. The Chazanish is not just a chumrah, this is the reality. Which is also a very big stretch. It's a very big stretch in halach. Okay, let's go further. Lefikviyaz v'niskayim oitzad kadima. Let's go along the east side. V'ninasel l'shechoyza ulemakim es kol shedach ha-chamesh me'a samad. Let's now use this as a reference point to now decide, if this is exactly 500 amas, so let's now go another 283 meters to the north, mm-hmm. on both sides, and now we can figure out exactly where the Har HaBayis ends. Right? So you can figure out now exactly where it's going to be 500 amas by 500 amas. He's not showing you the 500, that's where the triple line is. The triple line. The triple dotted line is going to be exactly, he doesn't put the numbers there, is exactly 283 meters going from south to north. So he makes it perfectly square. Now the problem, it's not perfectly square either, because the walls are not built perfectly square. The walls are built on an angle. That's another major problem. We would assume that Shlomo HaMelech, if he would make the Har HaBayis, he would make it on a perfect square. But the walls are not perfectly square, they're on a slight angle. Okay, but let's put that aside for now. So basically what he has done over here is, assuming that the southern wall is the Shar Chulda, based upon this Medrash, that the Shar Chulda was never destroyed, so this wall must be the original wall. The wall is 283 meters, which must be exactly 500. So we can assume that the number 283 is 500 amas. So start with that wall and go northward and draw a line, like the triple line he's drawn over here. So now we know exactly where the Har HaBayis is. Now before we go further, what does the practical have to mean if you assume this to be correct? That if you're going to go on today, Bizman HaZeh, on the Har HaBayis, the best place to go would go from the north. You should not do what the Temple Institute does. The Temple Institute, they take you up the gate, the ramp. They take you up the ramp. Okay, the Merabi Gate, on the other side. The Merabi Gate, that's where they take you up today. And they walk around the entire perimeter. They show this to you on the website. They demonstrate where they go. They walk around the entire perimeter of the Har HaBayis. They assume that the Har HaBayis is in the center based upon the Radvaz. The Radvaz was a big paisek in the 15th century, and he described in detail what people were doing in his time, and that's what they're samachon, and they hold that there's no problem, like pretty much like the Ravid, and the Radvaz, well, I don't know the Ravid, but they hold that the Har HaBayis is in the center. Everything that's built today is basically an expansion of the original Har HaBayis, and there's a lot of legitimate grounds to assume that is correct. All of the walls today, the four walls standing the Har HaBayis, are expansions of the original Har HaBayis from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So you're very safe. If you walk around the perimeter of the Temple Mount today, you're not even walking on the Har HaBayis. It's very unlikely you're walking on the original 500 Amas, the 500 of the Har HaBayis. So you're safe. No harm has been done.
Where exactly inside or outside of the wall?
Inside the wall.
Inside the wall.
Inside the
wall. The wall or the dotted line.
Inside the wall and the dotted line. Is so different. Now, if you're going to work with Rabbi Livinoni, so then you should know that if you're going to the Temple Institute, you're not doing a good thing. You should not go on that, enter the Mugrabi gate, because then you're really walking on the Har HaBayis. And unless you want to be Samech on the Poskim that say that there's no problem for a Tommy Mace, Bizman HaZeh, to go on to the Har HaBayis, then if you really want to go, then you should really only go from the north.
Is there an entrance from the north?
Yes, there is an entrance from the north. Yes, there is. There is. What? There is a Dinesh Yovia, yes. There are ways to. All in the bottom, on the picture. Look on the diagram. Look on the diagram. Look on the diagram. That's where the ramp. The ramp, when you go to the Kaisel, you see this massive ramp? The massive ramp goes up the Mugrabi gate. And you go there and you walk. What?
Mugrab means. West.
West. Okay, so you go over there and you walk around the entire. They walk around the entire perimeter. But according to Rabbi Livinoni, when you step in that area, you are immediately stepping on the Har HaBayis. If you want to go to a place that's not the Har HaBayis, you should go all the way to the north. You should enter on the north side because anywhere above the triple dotted line is not the Har HaBayis. Right. The Har HaBayis is 500 amos by 500 amos. Okay, let's go further. That's this first yisur.
Of course, there's an empty spot.
It's not empty. There's a lot of activity there. There are buildings there. There are a lot of things. You can go online. You can see pictures online of what's there today.
On
the northern side. But people actually go there. There are people, there are tours. I know there are people who go to the Har HaBayis. They bedafa go over here. Because L'chore, this is the safest place to go. It's not perfectly safe. It's not perfectly safe because there are opinions that hold that that's exactly where the Migdash was built. There are opinions that hold that the Migdash was built on the northern side of the Dome of the Rock. So then you're really walking, when you go there, you're also walking on the Har HaBayis. Nothing over here is certain. Everything over here is just conjecture. Let's go further. Now, Lefi Kvias Zo, Nisnaktim Oit Sad Kedima, Venase Lish. I'm running really quickly. Let's jump down over here. Okay, let's jump to the next column. Running out of time. The next column. Okay, so that's his basic yisod. Now, three approaches to where is the exact location of the three buildings. Misgad Bitsad Dodamanikwa El Aqsa, okay, the south, called the El Aqsa, Al Aqsa Mosque. Miskar Hashem Nimsa B'Merkaz Hanikra Kipas Hasel Dome of the Rock. Bein Shnei HaMiskodim Hanal Mishtareya Shetach Ponui MiBinyonim. In the middle, it's empty space. Where he presents in the diagram, the Beis Hamikdash is today just trees. There's nothing really there. There's just open land and some trees, like a park area. Shemidasei Hu 140 meter. Fine. Me'ata Hasheilehi Be'ezeh Chelik Bein HaChaymas HaRabayis Hanal Nimsa. Now he says here there are three major opinions. Believe me, there are more than three opinions. Okay, there are probably more like 10 opinions. Where exactly on Temple Mount today was the original location of the Beis HaMikdash? He's presenting traditionally three major opinions. Number one is Al Beis HaMikdash Chayyab B'Mokam Miskad Kipas HaSela The HaSela Shedimsa B'Nerkas HaMiskad Hi Evin HaShasiyah V'Choyitza B'Koydash HaKadoshim. That is by far the most popular approach. That's the legend. That is the model that the Temple Institute has built. When you go on a tour, they have many models of the Beis HaMikdash, some more elaborate, some less elaborate, some printed in books. That is what you're going to see, by and large, the model where they put the Kodesh HaKadoshim upon the Dome of the Rock. Number two, Tziba Salaki Sela, Kishkib Sela, Haidu Mokam Mizbeach Achitzan. Just move it over a little bit. Move it back. Move the Beis HaMikdash closer to the western wall, and the Dome of the Rock is the location of the Mizbeach. Can you see in the picture the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is in the center. Just move it over, and you put the Dome of the Rock that pushes the Beis HaMikdash all the way back. The third opinion is Beis HaMikdash Chayyim B'Meshedach. The third opinion is what he says is right smack where he puts it. Where he puts it is in the middle, is in the area where there's grass. There's grass. That, what does that mean? That means that When you go on the tunnel tours, if you ever go on, I'm sure everyone here probably 1.1 on the tunnel tours. Anyone go? You, when you're going down the tours, they say, now you're standing keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah. That's true if you learn like their propaganda that the, nothing against them, they're very good, that is where that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was built upon the Dome of the Rock. So you see in this diagram, it's a fantastic diagram, the Kodesh HaMaravi, you go into the cave, what?
The other way around.
You see in this diagram, you go in the cousin, you go all the way down the tour, you go down the tunnel, so you see when you come right up against the Kibbutz HaSela, you're right against the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Above that, there's the Kaisel HaKatan. There's a little area, it's very hard to get to, you have to have security to get in there, is the Kaisel HaKatan, where there's a legend that is the Makam Keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's all true and fine if the Beis HaMikdash was built upon the Dome of the Rock, or if the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Mizbech was built upon the Dome of the Rock. However, if you learn like what he's going to present now in opinion number 3, if you want to dive in Keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that area of the Kaisel, the very last open area before you go into the cave, that's connected to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the hardest spot to get. If you ever go to the Kaisel, you'll notice that spot is always taken, because people know this. Because that spot, according to many opinions, is connected to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
I mean, where you go?
Before you go into the cave.
The inside.
Before, right before you go, that the last part of the wall, the corner, that corner area.
There's an arch
over there.
Before the arch, before you go into that cave, that little cave, where you... You go in there right before you go. You're outdoors. When you're outdoors, you're still out. The last outdoor spot is connected, like you see in the picture over here. It's connected. That's connected. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, in his opinion. But don't get so carried away with this opinion.
That's on the left side. You're talking.
No, outside. Look at the picture. Look at the picture. It's right before you go inside. It's right before you go inside. Okay, it's even inside, it's also right there. Let's go further. Now he says, let's go further to the next paragraph. It's right in the middle. That's the best opinion he says. The best opinion is to say what he says, that it's right smack in the middle, that the Dome of the Rock is not the Evan Hashasiya. And in fact, a lot of modern research has shown that the Dome of the Rock used to be a fortress. It was a watchtower. There's a lot of research that they had, and it was a very dangerous
place.
It was a very dangerous place to base something during the time of the Bayis Sheni. There was a lot of wars. There was a lot of things going on. People were trying to attack. They built right outside. Like today, they have a police station. Anywhere there are problems. So what is the first thing? The first rule of security? We're going to build a police station. We're going to build a police station in this location, so we'll quiet down all of the wild people. There's a police station. They're not going to chapa. They built a police station. The Dome of the Rock was a fortress, was a watchtower, was a massive structure which went very, very high up. Modern researchers say this. They even use radar. They have radar to prove this. That the Dome of the Rock is not the Kodesh HaKadosh.
The Dome of the Rock was approximately the year 700.
More? Are you sorry? 700? Fine. It's a big mystery what it was. They built. The Muslims built upon it the mosque, and legend has it for almost 1,000 years that this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or it's the Makam HaMizbeach. That has been challenged in the last 100 years if it's accurate. Some modern researchers now claim, based upon some solid evidence, that the Dome of the Rock is not the Makam of the Kodesh. It's not the Evan Jasiya. It was just very rocky ground, very rocky land, which was ideal to been since the time of the Bayis Sheni. There was a lot of unrest on the Har HaBayis. There was a lot of things taking place. They built a police station. They built a police station on the Har HaBayis. They built a fortress with a very like a watchtower to keep the place safe. And the foundation, when it was destroyed, the foundation remained. Like today, they built the World Trade Center upon a massive, massive foundation. You can't even massacre the foundation of the new World Trade Center, whatever, the Freedom Tower. It's just a block of cement that goes all the way up a couple of stories all the way from down from bedrock. That's what they built over here, the same exact thing. And that's why it's so massive and it's so powerful, and that the Muslims assumed it was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they built upon in a mosque. But the truth is, the Beis HaMikdash was really a little bit pushed over, was further on the side. To support this, there's a legend, and there's a psukim, that there's a tradition that nothing will ever be built upon the Makam of the Beis HaMikdash, on the Makam makom of the korban. It cannot be that something will ever be built upon it. How could it be that for 1,000 years a mosque, a place of avodah zarah, avodah zarah, whatever it is being built upon the place? So it's the miracle that in the area where he claims the Beis HaMikdash really once stood, the Mikdash once stood, has been desolate.
The Romans built the avodah zarah right on the Makom HaMikdash.
So he says they didn't know what the Makom HaMikdash. They built it on the Dome of the Rock. The Christians, they also made a mistake because they destroyed. Though that was all part of the Hashgacha. Is this true? Is it not true? No one knows. These are theories that are thrown out. Let's go further. Now, here I just want to quote this Mishnah. It's a very important Mishnah. This Mishnah is, he goes on to say, Simukim Lakan. So he wants to say that the best solution is, I'm reading now the second paragraph in this column, it's four lines down, Simukim Lakan, Nid Lahavi Ma'a Mishnah Mem Sechnit. It's a very important Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows, Shenemra Al Yidei Rabbi Elias Ben Yaakov, Hamishamish Eid Riyah. He was a witness, he was an eyewitness to the Harabais. And Shekein Hoya Bizmana Ben Shekhi, he lived in the Bizmana Bais. Umei Uda Sohanemra Al Arav, Ishtori HaParachi. He lived much later in Mesechna Midos. Okay, based upon the, I don't know, there's a very person who was a traveler. He also has a document. Fine. But here's the Mishnah. Har Habayis was Hoyechomesh Meos Amos Al Chomesh Meos Amos. Ruboy Min HaDorim. Most of the area was from the south. The Asheni Loy Min HaMizrach. The Ashlish Loy Min HaTzofayn. That's the Mishnah. What is those words? Those words have troubled the greatest thinkers for the last 2,000 years to figure out what exactly that means. That's the part of the Mishnah. The place where we had most of its space is where most activity took place. It was not in the center. The Rambam says explicitly that the Mikdash was not smack in the center of the Harbais. The Harbais is 500 amas by 500 amas. The Mikdash is 187 by 135. It was not in the center. It was off center. And after it was off center, then we have these calculations. The majority was from the south. The second majority was from the east, the third is the north, and the fourth is the south. Okay, now we're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to read this out. Let me just tell you outside, because we're going to have time very quickly. His point over here is that when it says the word roiv just means an amma more, or even means a half an amma more. So you look at this diagram, what he's doing over here is he's showing you that if the Azara is, if the Harabais is 500 amos, and we deduct from the 500 amos 100, the width of the Mikdash, which is 135 amos, you're left with, and the thickness of the walls, you have to always take into consideration the thickness of the walls. He basically shows, if you look at this picture, that on the south, there are, in his understanding, after everything is said and done, there was 178 amos from the wall of the Har Habayis on the south to the wall of the Azar. Do you see that in the diagram? Look at the southern wall, and it says there 178. That takes you from the southern wall of the Har Habayis to the southern wall of the Mikdash. That's called the Roiv, the most space. Then it says in the Mishnah, the second most space was from the east. According to his calculation, what does it mean the second most space? It means a half an amma less. That's a little bit of a stretch, no? Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's brilliant. A little bit less. The second is 177.5. Okay, we don't include the Ezra's Nashim. We only include the main part of the Beis HaMikdash. Then the third amount of space, I think all the calculations, comes out to 177. Okay, isn't that amazing? 178, 177.5, and 177. And the smallest amount of space will be from the east, which will be from the west, which will be 125. Now, what is the advantage of doing this? The advantage of doing this, he says, that how do I know that I'm right after I've done all this, is because you can't ignore the fact that the Shar Shushan, which exists today when you go on a tour and you walk around the east side of the Har HaBayis, they show you the Shar Shushan. They show you that gate. Now so that
is the Golden Gate and the Shaftesbury.
No, the Golden Gate is all the way up. The Golden Gate is all the way up.
The Golden Gate is a bridge.
The Golden Gate is much higher up.
But they're both on the east.
They're on the east. There's a call the Shar Shushan. The Shar Shushan, according to this calculation, comes out to be directly opposite Shar Nikanor and the entrance to the Kodesh to Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is a requirement, because when the Gemara talks about the Paraduma, when they prepared the Paraduma, when he burnt the Paraduma, he had to be able to look through the Shar Shushan. Mm-hmm. He looked through. So this calculation, assuming that the Shar Shushan is the original Shar Shushan, is pretty good. After you make this calculation and you put
Shushan,
you
after the city of Shushan?
Yes, because it was in honor of the Persian government, which gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and paid for part of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So, in honor of the Persians, they named the gate after the Persians. So it comes out, it's amazing that if you go and you learn, you reject the common understanding of the legend that the Kodesh HaKadosh was built upon the Dome of the Rock, then and you assume that we when we measure 500 amos, the start, the benchmark for 500 amos is the southern wall, 283 meters, and we take that and we go forward, we use that as 500 amos going forward, and we make these calculations of the majority, the second majority, the third majority, and the niyut, and we just go down by a half an amma, 178, 177.5, 177, and we put the Migdash exactly in this location. It's miraculous that the Shar Shushan is perfectly in line with the Shar Nikanor. You can't ignore that. That is not something which can be ignored. It's too much of a coincidence that it could be. Everything just happens to fit perfectly. Yeah?
And according to the Shita,
yeah,
you can build up the base on Migdash today without having to knock down the other mosques. So there's no reason for a government not to put up a...
Ooh, you're going a little far there, okay. You're going a little far there. Okay, it's something which cannot be ignored. It is truly fascinating, this approach. And you take into consideration the legend, the other legend, that there's no place, Hashem will not allow that a structure of Avodah Zarah will be built upon the place where the Midrash once stood. According to the other legend, that the mosque, the Dome of the Rock, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how could it be that the Christians worshipped idols, and today the Muslims have control over it? How could it be that Hashem would allow on His holy place such terrible things to happen? Here it's not happening. It's moved over to the side. And you have over here Amos. Chazon Ish was right, after all. An Amos is 2 feet. There are a lot of coincidences. Are these coincidences, or are these things which are really true? It's a very big mystery. Okay, the other thing which cannot be ignored is Professor Dr. Rit Meir's revelations. He has basically proven, is that the Dome of the Rock is built upon a platform, what's called the elevated platform. You've all seen the pictures. You see the picture, the Dome of the Rock is elevated. It does not, there's a structure. There is a platform. Upon this platform is where they built the Dome of the Rock. When this platform was built is a big mystery. No one really knows. He, through enormous amount of work, has discovered that built into this platform are remnants of old walls. If we would be allowed today to take apart this platform, which is impossible because they would never get anyone near it, to take apart the whole mosque and take apart the platform, we would discover there is a wall. This elevated platform is built partially along a certain wall. He outlines this in this picture on the left, diagram on the left side. He shows that this wall is still there today. And there is something called, along the eastern wall, there is things you can actually see. There's something called the bend, and there's something called the seam and the bend. And basically, to make a long story short, he wants to suggest, now this is something which is totally off the charts, totally shocking, and in the Hakira journal, he spends a whole page preparing you not to go into shock when he's about to say this thing, is that the Kosel HaMaravi that we have today is not necessarily the Kosel HaMaravi of the Azara. It was an expansion. It's not the original western wall of the Har HaBayis.
No, everyone knows that.
No, not necessarily. No, that's not the... No.
The walkway.
It's not necessarily to say that the Kaisel HaRavi, there's a legend that the stones built all the way down. They take you on the tunnel tours. They tell you that the stones all the way deep down were laid by David HaMelech himself. That's a legend. He's telling you no such legend. The stones that David HaMelech laid are the stones that are basically alongside the platform of the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock, that mask, the Al-Sakara mask, that the Dome of the Rock, that platform has within it remnants of the original wall, and that wall can be traced today, and also that's why everything is off. How come all these walls, none of them are aligned perfectly? They're all crooked. Well, the only thing that really is a perfect box is this original wall. This original wall, the platform of the Dome of the Rock, with the bend, and with the eastern wall. We think the eastern wall is a little bit crooked. What happened to the eastern wall? Why does the eastern wall, why does it shift to the right? Something went wrong over here. Didn't go wrong. That's the original wall. The bend was a perpendicular perfectly. The Kaisel HaMaravi that aligns the platform is perfect. According to that, you get a much more realistic version of an Amma. An Amma then comes out to be something like 17 inches. So you get a much more realistic approach of, not like the Chazonish.
Right.
The Amma comes out perfect. We have the dome, we have then a realistic, he holds that this is the, he has tried to uncover that the eastern wall is really the only wall that's the original wall of the Har HaBayis is the eastern wall. Not the southern wall, not the western wall, the only wall that's the original wall of the Har HaBayis is the eastern wall. And indeed, there are legends that he said, B'davka Davin there. Go back hundreds of years ago, there were traditions, they didn't go to the Kaisel HaMaravi. They only went to the eastern wall to Davin.
But this is a cemetery there now, right?
That's now, right. Now they've done other things. They made other problems. So,
not that.
Now he only, it's, now after you know where it is, then you have to get into the next question, where in this area is the Mikdash? Okay, now you know if this, what he's saying is correct, that this is going to be the area of the Har HaBayis. Now figure out in that area where you're going to put the Beis HaMikdash. That's not so simple. And his calculations do not really stem with what it says in the Mishnah. So all of these things. Now another very big nafkamin is that if you're going you're going up to the verse of the Temple Mount, according to the Temple Institute, you can walk along the south, you can walk along the west and the north, but you should not be walking along the east because there's nowhere in the east that's really safe. You see? They do walk, according to at least the diagram on the internet, on their website. They have a website, and they tell you everything you have to do, and they show you what they do. They walk around the entire perimeter. Their entire perimeter is based upon the Radvaz. The Radvaz itself is a whole sugya to itself, the sheet of the Radvaz, what he writes, what he says, and also has only very recently been understood based upon modern research, new evidence to understand what the Radvaz was talking about. But the Nafkamina then is, according to this approach, you should not be able to walk on the east, because the east, you really walk on the Har HaBayis. So it comes out, if you learn like Rabbi Livinoni, stay away from the south. If you learn like the approach of Rinne Meir, stay away from the east. If you learn what's traditional, which we don't really know, because that's not addressing the Har HaBayis, but then there are other opinions which tell you that know that they hold that the Mikdash was built on the north. There are a lot of diagrams like this. It was built on the north of the Dome of the Rock. Okay, this is, I'm just telling you different opinions. And if it's the Golden Gate, because the Golden Gate would then be opposite the Mikdash. That means you got to go put the whole Beis HaMikdash north. If you put the Beis HaMikdash north, that basically means the entire north is the Har HaBayis. So stay away from the north.
Stay away.
Unless everyone admits that if you're going to the Har HaBayis, everyone pretty much is admitting, if you go to the Har HaBayis, you have to be realistic. You don't know. If you don't know, it's possible he's stepping on the Har HaBayis. Okay, so what's so terrible? a Tanei Meis, according to many opinions, is allowed to step on the Har Bayis Bizman Hazeh as long as you do it in the proper way. But to say, I'm only going to the Har Bayis and I know exactly where the place, people say this, I went to the Har Bayis and I didn't do anything wrong because I went only in certain locations where we know for sure this is not the Har Bayis. Anyone that tells you that doesn't know anything about the Sugya, has not been educated in the Sugya, because the truth is, no one knows for sure anything about the temple now in Zman Hazeh, which part is originally part of the original Har Bayis. There's no part that's safe. There's no part, not the north, not the east, not the south, not the west. And if you're going to go, so don't make up stories. Say, I'm going. Tommy Mace is allowed to go on the Har Bayis. Then you're okay.